Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room is back, Josh Wiggler.
Oh, man. Wiggle Room is back. Josh Wiggler officially has a Survivor Island of the Idols winner pick. It just so happens to be the same winner pick that Rob Cesternino has. Exciting times here in Wombat Nation as we officially welcome Chelsea Walker to the Hat Club.
Yes. Well, now, why is it the Hat Club?
I don't know.
Did she find three idols?
I had already said Wombat Nation.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't say, like, welcome, you know, Wombat Nation, great week, and welcome to Wombat Nation in the same sentence. Felt duplicative.
So all your winner picks are part of Wombat Nation. There's nobody that you've had to come around on and, like, disavow that they're like, I thought they were going to be awesome.
I'm trying to think. Since we've opened things up to Wombat Nation... First of all, I know, Rob, that I owe you a list of people who I owe hats to.
Yeah.
First and foremost on the list is Kellen, who
yeah,
I voted.
Well, that was our last shared winner pick.
Oh, I owed a hat to Kellen for a couple of years now. And like 2 months ago, I was like, Kellen, don't worry. The hat's on the way. The hat isn't on the way yet, Kellen.
We'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out. Chelsea, I had said whoever finds the Lyro tribe hidden immunity idol that I selected to go into the game would be my winner pick. That is Chelsea Walker. So Chelsea Walker, win or lose, you get a hat. Oprah style, you get a hat. Kellen gets a hat. I'm trying to remember who my other winner picks are. A lot has happened on Survivor.
A lot has happened. Now, over on Vokai, whoever finds that idol, on the other hand, they get a Bloomin' Onion, right?
Yeah, Mike just sends them an Outback Steakhouse gift certificate.
Well, Sandra is going to hope that she finds
She's
it.
Gonna She's going to snipe it. She's going to just swoop in and stick a steak knife through the card and get that. YOLO, let's eat Bloomin' Onions.
YOLO, let's play. All right, so we are going to hear what Josh has to say about the week in Survivor. We'll do our wand off, and then later on we'll have this week in Survivor with Jordan Kalish. We'll get into the social media and have our quiz with our resident Sandra expert Paul Osselson is going to join us later on in this show. But Josh, two episodes in, and I haven't seen any best season ever don't at me tweets, but a fun start to the season.
Well, I just tweet a little less these days anyway, but I would say yes, very fun start to the season. I really liked IOI this week, even if the challenge itself was definitely fairly easy. I thought that it led to a really fun, character interaction. I thought that it was much more natural, coming from Boss and Rob and Sandra this week, a lot less. It didn't feel as scripted as the premiere did in certain places. And I felt like we didn't miss much in terms of, like, did we sacrifice a lot of story time in the episode for IOI? I don't feel like we did. I think that we would feel that way if there was a reward challenge in the episode as well, on top of, you know, the immunity challenge and going to IOI.
Yeah.
But right now, the balance of the episode feels fairly strong to me. I hope they can keep this up. I like this idea of, you know, you're getting your essential stories from each tribe, and then it seems like you have, like, a very central character study of whoever gets sent to Island of the Idols, and this time it's Kelly. And then she comes back with the idol in her hair. This is historic. This is the evolution of idol hiding strategy, which is so much fun, and I can't wait to talk about when we get to TEOS Volume 4. It's so much fun. So I love that character spotlight that gets baked into the premise of Island of the Idols. I love that they are relegating, like, the deeper Rob and Sandra stuff to, like, secret scenes so far, and not putting that on the show, and instead really seemingly understanding that they've got such a great cast here. Just let them shine, let them play, let them fight. So I was really happy this week. I thought this was a really good episode, and it was always going to be that second episode. The premiere with 90 minutes, you were going to be able to get a lot of attention on a lot of different people, and you wouldn't really necessarily get, like, a real sense of what the structure of the season might be because you're not in that normal runtime. Well, we got an episode that is in that normal runtime, and I was very satisfied with it.
Yeah, I've been saying for years that the reward challenge isn't doing much for us. And if we can replace the reward challenges with what's going on the Island of the Idols, I think that's a great formula for the show. The only thing that gives me pause is that I think a lot of times we don't have a reward challenge in the second episode. And then they start to, you know, show up by the, you know, third and then, you know, basically the rest of the season. So we'll keep an eye out this week to see if we're going to get a reward challenge, because that's too much. It's too much stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's too much. You assume at some point there's going to be some sort of swappy action. Are we going to go from 2 to 3 or something like that, as is like Survivor's current tradition? Hope not, but totally possible. And if that's the case, is there also going to be a reward on top of it? Mm-hmm. And is IOI going to be baked in as well? It's a lot if that is the direction that we choose to go in.
Yeah. Also, watch out for a swap on some sort of a odd number where the person who does not get a tribe ends up being the person who goes to Island of the Idols.
Yeah. Also, by the way, just update. I have had a Eureka, and I remember that I have Allison. Dr. Allison was my winner pick versus Goliath. You could send her. I would happily have her receive a Wiggler's Wombat's hat, should she choose to accept it. And Joey Amazing was my winner pick for Survivor Edge of Extinction.
That was another shared one.
Can't imagine he wants it, but if he wants the hat, he could certainly have the hat. I think he'd rock it. So if somebody reaches out to Joey Amazing, Wombat Nation will certainly take Joey Amazing into our ranks. Yeah, Rob, we've had a lot of shared winner picks, huh?
We're so on the same page.
I heard you say with Shannon that you wouldn't mind being out on the Island of the Idols with me, and I was really touched by that. Yeah, I feel the same way about you. I think we'd have a great time.
I mean, we've spent so much time together, and you know, have we had like a fight in all this time?
I don't think that you and I have ever had like a fight. I think like we've had like a, hey, the first one out for Heroes, Healers, Hustlers came out a little early. And that's a little bit alarming.
Right. But you were so cool during that. You didn't yell at me and make me feel like this big. So I appreciate
that. That was the tensest it's ever gotten between us. So, I guess like some of the, when you were really shading the wombat hat back in the day.
I said it was fine.
Yeah, but you've come around to it.
It's iconic now.
Yeah, most of our fighting has been for show, so I think we would do well. The problem would be neither of us know how to live out there. Our time on IOI, I think, would be rather short.
Tell me, that was in regards to whether Rob and Sandra are getting along on the Island of the Idols. Do you think that this relationship between Rob and Sandra together, living out there like Bernard and Rose, can this survive 39 days?
It's a lot. It's a lot of time out there just doing nothing like Shannon was talking about. Can't wait for her podcast, by the way. That's going to be super fun. But the idea of them just like being out there twiddling their thumbs, waiting every couple of days for somebody to come out for like a couple of hours at most, and then they like get like ferried back and forth from IOI to tribal council so they can cram into, you know, the booth, to the Fallon booth, which is pretty tight, it seems, based on the camera angle in there. I certainly hope that they've got magazines out there. I certainly hope that they're able to like make a phone call home or two. I think that they really ought to be allowed to do that. I bet that they are. They definitely played it as if it was going to be very, very straight in the bush type of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to get a phone call home every now and then. They certainly should be allowed to, I think.
I don't see why not, but it seems like that's not what they're going for.
I know. I have no idea. So don't look at me being like, oh, he's breaking the illusion. I genuinely have no idea. My guess would be, I think that they're probably allowed to take a phone call or two. I think it would be crazy not to let them. And I think Rob and Sandra would have been crazy to sign on without being able to, like, I don't know, spend some time apart. But I guess who knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Josh, we saw Molly go home this week. Did you have the opportunity to talk to Molly this week?
I did. The Molly blindside. Some would even call it a Molly shock.
Oh.
How about that? Joke for an audience of one. What's up, Molly?
A few more than one.
There's probably more people. I thought that was good. I did. I, you know, this is... I was talking to Bloom about this because this is Mike's first preseason experience of having been out there sitting on a secret for such a long time. And then you get to come home and you have to wonder how the rest of the game plays out. And all you have to chew on is those first 3 days. So we had known forever that Ronnie was the first one out, but we had no idea who goes home next. And I think that there were a lot of different permutations of like who goes home next. It did seem, based on our experience out there, that Jason was in trouble. So I think for him and I both, we were probably like, yeah, I would assume Jason is probably gone next. The fact that he's able to escape with his torch still alit from that first Vokai Tribal Council, based on where he was when we had left him, would have been surprising enough on its own. But there's probably no universe where I would have had Molly on the short list of people to go home second. That was a real surprise to me. She's very, very smart. Very, very bright person, super social, really just you want her to like you. She's, you know, very, very easy to get along with. And I guess those are the things that got her voted out. I think when you have a cast that's this strong, and I really think the vast majority of this cast is, you know, just like really, really, you know, they did a great job finding great people. You're just going to have heartbreakers along the way. There's just no way around it. So Molly going home early is definitely a bummer, but it'd be a bummer for almost any of these people to go home.
Bummer. Yeah. Josh, it was also a breakout episode for Nora. How are you feeling about Nora so far?
I adore Nora.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love Nora. Everything. I don't think that even like talking to her out there, and I talked about it in the preseason interviews and stuff about her energy and the constant table smashing and just sort of like the, you know, the talking for 10 minutes uninterrupted type of energy was certainly palpable. But I think even I didn't fully appreciate then how much of an exceptional television character she could wind up being. She was an exceptional part of this episode. You know, whether it's the various rants, whether it's the dancing that she cannot control, that even, you know, as many times as Jason is telling her to play it cool, chill out, relax, don't do this, that she still can't keep that in, to things that are as simple as like in confessional. Nora can't look at the camera. Nora's like looking anywhere but at the camera. She's not looking at the camera. Notice that. It's happening.
I'm going to look for it.
At Tribal Council, Nora like is like fully turned, body turned completely to like whoever she's talking to and not looking at Jeff at all, not looking out in like the direction that Tribal Council normally goes. She's just doing things differently than you typically see on Survivor, and I freaking love it.
She sticks out, Josh.
Oh, she's.
I always stick out. I don't like to stick in, honestly.
Nora. Yes, I am here for Queen Nora. It's way too early to be calling Nora the star of the season, but obviously Nora is the star of the season. And I hope that she I hope she takes it all the way to the bank.
Okay,
she's just spectacular.
All right.
Cracking me up. Molly talked about in her interview with me, I don't know if she talked about it with you, apparently like Nora fabricated like this fake immunity idol story. Did you hear this?
No.
Molly said that like Nora like went and told some people like Tommy and Jamal and a couple of other people like, yeah, I went to the top of the mountain and I found an idol and I came back and I got an idol. And Molly was saying that she wasn't part of that conversation when Nora went and said that to people. But I guess Tommy did like a really exceptional retelling of the tale. So cut for time, I assume. But that's like the kind of antics that Nora is up to right now. What a delight. What an absolute, complete and utter delight.
All right, Josh, are you ready for another delight?
I'm so ready for another delight.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda. Straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
All right. Get ready. The Wanda, it'll be here forever.
Oh, it's never going away. Sorry, haters. Apologies.
All right. So we are back. Week number two of the Wand Off. You can send in your submissions every week to wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com, where you are vying to be the weekly winner of the Wand Off and get a Wiggler's Wombat's hat. Did we say that there was something else that we were giving away each week last week, or did I? Is that a fever dream?
No, I think we talked jokingly about creating a paper mache heads of ourselves with wombat hats on them, but yeah, I don't think that that's gone anywhere.
No. Now, maybe for the end of the season. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, nobody's gotten a hold of us to 3D print our heads.
You're just getting hats. Hats are where it's at. If anyone's got an idea for something else that we could send, I'm certainly open, as I always am.
I don't even like that little wombat's hat.
Now, listen, Russell does not qualify for wombat's hat. No hat for Russell. Yeah. But
although we'd happily take his submission for the wand off.
Yeah, if he can win Wiggler's Wombat's hat, you know, we can't stop the process. You know, the process is what it is. I just have a hard time believing that that's what would happen.
Okay. All right. Josh, let's talk about last week in the Wand Off, because as we do every week, the listeners can vote at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, where they have their chance to vote for their favorite Wand Off of the week. And so, last week, the voters did just that. And in third place, it was a legend of the Wand Off, Mr. DJ LaBelle Klein with
his, the tribe.
Yeah, song about the tribe.
I liked it. I really did. I felt seen.
In second place, with 21.49% of the vote, it's a perennial bridesmaid of the Wand Off, Becky and Taylor with their song, Ronnie.
Great song.
And
great, 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 great stuff.
Josh, it was a landslide. It was a runaway freight train.
I didn't mean to put the finger on the scale, but like sometimes when you get me going, like I just can't help myself.
Yeah. And it was a runaway victory for last week's winner of the Wand Off. And he is no stranger to the Wand Off wins. Here he is. It was Corey B with his song Hat Guy.
It's that easy.
Okay, my turn.
Yeah, Corey B.
Oh God, oh man, it really just immediately killed me. Sometimes it's just like you just shoot me right in the heart and I'm dead. That was one of those instances. I really try to play fair here, but obviously that just like shot me right in the face.
Yeah. Okay.
That was look very very funny.
Sometimes it's easier to pick the winner, and that was one of those weeks. So congratulations.
No disrespect to everybody else. Absolutely not. That was just like a unique situation of straight to the gut, right in the funny bone. How many different body parts have I been shot in this metaphor so far?
Many. Okay, many. So congratulations, Corey B. Another black hat is on the way for Corey B. Corey B. could get one for each of his kids now at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. There's more on the way.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
So
you have to eventually come up with something to like send to people that have like 1,000 hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a while, like, you know, even like, too much of the wombat head is.
Yeah, I think that we're gonna have to start throwing like more stuff in the box. I'm just gonna taking Dominic and Anthony's toys and like here's more stuff. You deserve more than just this black hat.
I don't know. I feel like a Wombat Nation patch. We'll do like a patch.
Yeah, we can do that.
Your pop sockets are in.
Yeah,
Rob.
Yeah,
so we can figure it out.
Okay. All right. So let's welcome in the host of the Wand Off. That
right,
he is the immortal radio legend and host of the Wand Off. Please welcome back Mr. Casey Kasem. Josh, speaking of pop sockets that I've recently popped my hip right out of the socket.
Wow. I didn't realize that you in your ethereal form were capable of doing such a thing. I didn't even realize you had bones anymore.
Neither did I.
Yeah. So surprised everybody, Casey. But you're doing good. Everything's fine. Did you enjoy the hair idol this week?
Very exciting to see what Kelly could hide in her hair. something that I never attempted.
Not too late.
Josh, let's get into this week's honorable mentions. And we're going to start things off from a listener who wants to simply be known as Propst 182, talking about a new leader over at Vokai. That was Jamal, the Vokai King from the band Edge of Extinct 182.
Edge of X Blink. I like that. I think that's good.
But some stellar wordplay on Jamal, the Vokai King.
That's good. I like that quite a bit. The King and the Queen and the Jack felt like that was like, this is day five, guys. Really? They're in charge of the whole thing like that?
Yeah, it really seemed like that they were. They had somebody named Jack, and then they were really trying to work that in.
That's where it started, right? Like, that's like the Eureka piece, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay, it's all going to fall together there. We've got the Jack, now we just got the King.
Right. I think you could also have that maybe in a Gabon situation, like with Ace, if you had,
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's the King and the Queen and the Ace. And this is going to be a royal flush at Tribal Council.
Yeah, I can't wait until Survivor 43 when we have our first person on Survivor named 3. And they just do, I didn't know where I was going. Leave it. I obviously don't know cards very well. I know that there's numbers involved.
Just leave it in.
Stick it in.
If you always stick out, you never want to stick in.
No. Totally true.
Josh, there was one topic that a lot of the Wandoff parody artists were obsessed with this week, and it was what was going on over on the Island of the Idols. Here to talk about that quiz is Fiona and Alex B.
Sandra and Rob start talking so much, I just can't keep track. There's a quiz, oh, this sucks. I was in my head, can't remember what they said. It was something about a dog. Boston, Rob, and Sandra grilling me about their story. Papa, Papa Rosie, someone's in the army, should have went to Hong.
Is it week 40 already?
Already? Oh my God, we got some Wanderazzi going on in the house.
From Neat Lady Gaga.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. Good one. Oh, man. Gotta say, I don't think I would necessarily have recognized the Army logo hat. I don't know what it says about me, but I don't think that I would have necessarily. So I think I could have had a chance at failing the test.
Now, was Sandra in the Air Force, though, that I remember from when you talked to Missy, she says she was at the same Air Force base.
She was, but I think her husband's
tricky.
In the
Maybe
Army.
It was a trick question.
Yeah. It's tricky. Yeah.
Josh, next up, here comes Swaggy J with some more thoughts about this week's big quiz.
I know you went to Harvard Park.
Went to a few Harvard parties.
Sandra, I know one of your dogs is half blind. Oh, no.
I married Amber.
I don't care about your Pomeranians.
So I have four dogs.
Or the age of your children.
23 and 21.
I just want to know why the hell am I on this island. I don't need to know what you think about the chiropractors.
I've always wondered about chiropractors. Like, are they legit?
Uh! That was a big hit for the artist Ed Sheeran is Scooey.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Oh God, Smarty Pants. Like that whole thing was so good. This is vintage Boston Rob. This kind of thing.
Cool. Smarty Pants.
Yes. Killed me. Just absolutely killed me. Oh man.
Next up, we've got one more song here about what was going on the Island of the Idols. Here's the amazing Maisie talking about the idol that Kelly ended up getting on the Island of the Idols. That was a song from the artist Toe Tony Vlachos.
Josh, the song Survivor Africa.
Is it Africa? Now, is Amazing Maisie, I know she was 11 last season. Do we have word if she's 12 yet?
Oh, I have no idea. We're not friends on Facebook, so I didn't see the birthday notification. I'm very bad at observing the birthday notification on Facebook as it is.
Yes, I want to preemptively wish a happy birthday to all of our listeners for the coming year.
Yeah, you did great. You did great, and you're going to keep doing great. And if I don't wish you a happy birthday on your actual birthday, consider this my happy birthday to you.
Yes.
The whole entire year to come.
Okay. Josh? Up next, we have a song that's about the situation over on Vokai between the people with a work ethic like Nora and some of the people that are not as hard workers. Here's our song from Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson.
Nora thought they don't do anything. Maybe just gonna nap in bed. But Lauren had a better target. The idols echoing a baffled duet. Today they decided to shake up everything. Don't dance. Wanda, 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 don't dance. Wanda, Wanda.
So there was Kelly Bruno Mars with that one, but not to be outdone, we have a counterpoint about who really was not doing anything at the Vokai tribe.
Jamal doesn't feel like doing anything. He just wants to lay on the raft.
Two different songs. We got two different ones.
I can't begrudge Jamal for taking a nap, I think. You get tired out there, I gotta imagine.
Yeah.
How many people have like been on Survivor and have taken a nap and then gone on to win the game and just like them being like, all right, nap time, like, and it just didn't make the edit.
I recommend a midday nap.
Yeah, you know, and so do I as a life practice. I know Rob is a fan as well, and there's no nap shaming coming my way to you, Rob. You earned that siesta.
Yeah.
And I assume so did Jamal. He's out there playing Survivor. I hope it was a short nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think we're talking cat nap.
Yeah, power nap is fine.
Power nap.
Power you nap's want, fine.
Like, 15-minute nap.
15 minutes. That's it. That's it. Any more than 20 minutes is no good.
Oh, then you're going into like that deep REM sleep.
Yeah, that's
no
good.
You're having weird dreams and all sorts of funky things are happening. So keep it tight. Much like we want with the wand offs. Keep them tight.
Get right to it. Boom.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. In and out.
And you wake up and you're ready to go. Loaded for bear. No shade towards Jamal. You get that nap. You've earned it, sir.
Josh, if I could, I would recommend sleeping for a very long time.
Are you sleeping right now? The eternal rest.
Josh, our final honorable mention of the week. comes to us from Justin from Washington Heights. And he is asking the question that's on the mind of Survivor fans from coast to coast.
Wanda, Wanda. Something's not in the episode and I don't know what it is. Someone's not on the screen. Everyone's got something to say, all except for him. At least he's liked by Reem. Where the heck is Dean?
Oh,
is he on TV screen?
Dean just short with his first pop.
Is he in a single scene?
Here comes Dean.
Yo, where the heck is Dean?
That was the band Larosmith.
Larosmith. Where is Dean? Where's Dean? I know it's just two episodes, but it has been Purple Deans so far.
Where's Dean?
Where's Dean? You know, look, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It would appear that Dean's just not giving up the goods or is not yet relevant to the story that's being told.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we get to Dean, I'm sure it's going to be a Dean light. I didn't pronounce the N, I'll have you know. I just went to D, but like I made you think I was going to go with it, and then I said light.
Josh, we've got our top five songs that are absolutely topping the charts in Wombats Nation. Our first song for you this week is from a listener who goes by the name Lindsay Types, and she wants to talk about the important instruction that was given on the Island of the Idols.
When I start telling you about my family and things that are important to me, then I need you to listen.
To the name of all my dogs and the kids of Boston Rob. Forget Kelly. Listen, he married Amber season 8. And I hear that Brock's your mate. You follow me. Oh, the time has come for us to make a bet. I will ask and you will make a guess. If you get 4, then I'll be sure you listen.
Okay, what is going on? Like, what is the point of this?
Listen, this is your chance at immunity. It's only 4 answers, Kelly.
I don't know.
That was a ballad from the artist Jenny Guzman Beyonce.
Wow. Really, really excellent stuff. Lindsay Types got pipes. That was very good.
A great first entry in the top five for Lindsay.
Exceptional. Exceptional.
Josh, the Wandoff artists were very focused on what went on the Island of the Idols. Here
so I heard.
Is a collaboration from Kiri and Alex talking about what Boston Rob has learned to do so well on Survivor.
I will remember you. Will you remember me?
Already great.
I'm Boston Rob. I got 4 daughters. And I went to Harvard Party. I'm so smart. Won this game. I remembered all the other players' families' names. I'm such a pro, I remember. Your boyfriend's name is Brock. I know all the names of Sandra's hubby, kids, and dogs. Kelly, I will remember you. Wanda, will you remember me? Wanda, your boyfriend's Brock. Sandra's got two dogs. One of them's Papa. And I went to
That God. Was a beautiful, touching melody by the artist Sarah McCochran. So beautiful.
Oh, good. You know, it's one of those things where, like, context is king, right? Or context, I should say, is queen stays queen, adios. Wow. Because just like it's the lyrics are the same as the song that they originate from at first, but it's so funny because you get the context of where they're. I'm explaining the joke. You already get it.
It was beautiful. That was beautiful. That's like really Carrie good. And Alex.
That's really funny. Oh, God.
Josh, if you liked that, I think you're also gonna like this collaboration from Karen from Canada with the great Graham from the Bay, talking about Boston Rob and the Island of the Idols.
Okay, what is going on? Like, what is happening? What is the point of this?
Hey, I was wondering the same thing, too. I don't even know what this show is anymore. By the way, did you know? I can see. It's unbelievable what they did to Survivor. They built a statue of the biggest survivor idol ever. And all these amateurs don't know what to do. And now I need to take them all to school
in session.
Teach them all the B.I. rules. Smarten up, you fools. Tell me what chiropractors do. You need to listen to me.
The man with the little B.
How would I like that little B?
Repeat 1 through 3, 5. Don't bother challenging me. But Kelly, since you passed your test and won,
shove your idol up your butt.
Hey, I taught you everything you need to know. I got one more rule. Get out of here.
That was another slow dance here in the top five from the R&B artist Kathy Vavrick O'Brien McKnight.
Yes. McZane Knight. Oh, my God. Oh, God. We're just going to be in for it this season, huh?
Yep.
Because I think I've tipped my hand that I like it when you sing to be in Boston Rob.
Josh, the number 4 song in all of Wombat's Nation. This time, we're going to leave the Island of the Idols to hear from Becky and Taylor about some of the women of this Survivor season.
These guys don't know what's going on. The girls are the ones dominating. We can do anything they can do. In fact, we're doing it better.
Survivor ladies got us going crazy.
Wanda?
I just watched Survivor last night. Turns out it's 100% girl power.
Minus 10% from Molly.
Yeah, it looked like Nora was the one going home. But here comes Laura blindside of her
Hang
own.
On, now let me digress just a little.
Ladies playing these men like fiddles.
See Missy Andy Lane. I'm doing decently dope. I play some lame. On Ronnie Aaron can't cope.
Stop crying.
Survivor ladies got us going crazy. Hard workers making men look lazy. Screaming yes queen at the TV set. Give them their own giant heads. This season, guess who we admire? It's Janet making that fire. Molly has poverty's smile.
Poverty 2.0.
The orange tribe is cursed?
Oh no, they've been uncursed. Now the purple tribe's deciding who they vote now first. But Jamal has said he's done with this because he thinks the vote's so obvious. Now he's really, really, really gonna take a nap. What cockiness.
I recommend the
midday nap. Kelly put the I.I.O. in her hair. Now she pretends to cry, I.I. cause she's a player.
And look at Chelsea, gathering wood so intently. Oh, what's that? Found an idol accidentally.
Survivor ladies got us going crazy. Getting idols, acting all shady. Wayne says Queen Sandra D is fine, says. Give us a women's alliance. Only one way to win a wombat hat. Can't win if you can't make Josh laugh. If you can't, there's an easy way to fix that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Just, they're right. They're right. Right.
Josh, that was a bop from Lazoe Zandakis.
Wow. I was going to say a bop. Felt like I bopped. That was grand. That was wonderful. Yeah, my old laugh makes me laugh too.
It's contagious.
So stupid.
And Josh, we've got one last entry into this week's top five. Okay. Our number five song this week comes to us from a man who's just won the first Wandoff of the season.
Oh, wow.
This time, it's a collaboration with Chelly. Here's Corey B. and Chelly to talk about our new song called Just Got Played.
Vokai, it's tribal night. Molly just got played.
Molly, 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 Molly. Molly, Molly, Molly.
Oh, yeah.
Molly, 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 Molly. Molly, Molly.
Oh, just got played. Tribal night for the cool kids. A big blind side. Idols hidden. Stripping down. Strategizing while Jamal is down. Vote the misfits, don't look back. High school trio, Queen and King and Jack. Nora renting, 6 a.m. Slept last evening, what if the fire went out? She's been around. 2.0, nature thinks she's poverty.
No one's ever really picked on me because it's not that fun. Because they don't really care.
Oh, oh, oh.
She wasn't likely gonna win the crown. But as you hear the beat, move your arms up and down and up and down till you stop feeling this jam. But remember the time when she held that clam. Well, the trio thought that they had it made. The votes are in the urn, she got betrayed. And if you're watching from the hot box, you might say that Molly just got played.
Play. It's tribal night. Molly just got played.
Played.
Rick.
That was from the super group B Nwinsync.
Wow. Good. Like it. Feeling that. Yeah, Rick Devens with the cameo at the end.
Getting played.
Glad he's doing well in his quasi-retirement. Making good use of it.
Could be working on some Wandoffs.
Yeah, you know?
Collaborating with Becca Devens. Yeah.
That could be the long game.
Josh, of course. The listeners can now get to voting when you can go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote for this week's winner of the Wandoff. And of course, you can listen to all of this week's submitted songs on our exclusive Wandoff SoundCloud playlist available to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And for me, once again, this week, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
Oh, Casey.
There you go. Casey Kasem, everybody. Thanks to Casey Kasem once again for all of his hard work putting together the Wandoff. And a double thanks to the great Randy Neupel, who goes through all of the submissions to get them ready for Casey to make the picks of what gets into the Wandoff. Of course, to Jason Curtis Rivera, who works on the music videos. I told him he could just make one for the winner. I told him he doesn't have to make five music videos a week.
You can't stand in the way of Jason Curtis Rivera and Fine Art.
He's a college student.
I know. He's got to live your life and all that. Yeah. But like, if this is living your life, then live your life. You know, do what you want to do. I'm done judging people.
Yeah. No judgment. No judgment. I feel bad.
There's judgment. I mean, I appear on a podcast in order to judge people on television.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, to the tabulator, Kurt Clark, who goes through all the entries and weeds out all of the submissions that were sent in from the bots in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to make sure that we have an honest and fair Wandoff election every single week.
Yes. No compromises.
Yes, that's
foreign
right.
Interference.
No interference. Well, we had Cherry Hill, New Jersey interference. So yeah,
that doesn't ever come through.
Right.
Thwarted at this point.
Tabulator cleans that all up. And of course, yes, the SoundCloud playlist ends up going up on Monday night. We send that out to all of our patrons. You can listen to all of the songs and the full version of the honorable mentions, all available at robiswebsite.com/patron. Josh, for more on your coverage.
Yes.
You know, people can go over to thr.com/survivor.
I've heard the rumor.
And read everything
yes.
that you're doing for Survivor. But what else are you doing?
I believe that to be true. Yeah, the way that I'm doing it is this is what I was doing during David versus Goliath, and it seemed to work out pretty well. There is that I'm writing a little mini recap. It's going up on Wednesday nights. And then Thursday, that very same article will be updated with my exit interview when the exit interviews come through. So that's the way I'm doing business this time around. So go to thr.com/survivor. And that article you see on Wednesday night's post episode, that's where you're going to find my exit interviews on Thursdays. So that's what's going on over there. Busy times in my neck of the woods right now. We just launched our Mr. Robot coverage. The final season of Mr. Robot is upon us. Antonio Mazzaro and I are podcasting about that over at Post Show Recap. So if that is a show that you like, I highly recommend listening to what we have to say about it. I'm writing about it a lot as well over at The Hollywood Reporter, thr.com/MR. Robot is where you'll get that coverage. I've got some good interviews up there right now. If you're a robot fan, then you know it was a big episode. So talking to the right peeps about what went down. So go check that stuff out. Jessica Leese and I are launching our Walking Dead Season 10 coverage at Post Show Recaps this week as well. I know that people are sad that you're not doing the Walking Dead recap anymore.
Are people sad?
I do think so. I think that there are people who really enjoyed. I know Jessica Frey mentioned that her favorite version of Rob Cesternino is the angry Rob who podcasts about the Walking Dead.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as it used to. when it absolutely touched the nadir of the Walking Dead. People like to, you know, hear me complain about stuff. Some people did, but now it's good.
It's good. I like it. I'm happy with The Walking Dead right now. Fear the Walking Dead's another story.
Yeah.
That show sucks straight up. But Walking Dead, I'm really enjoying season 10 right now. I liked the premiere quite a bit. Really looking forward to after you and I get off the line here, Rob, I'm going to be recording the recap with Jessica Leese in a little while. Too late to get your questions in for this week, but you can always do that. TWD@postshowrecaps.com. Jess and I are going to have a really fun time talking Walking Dead all season long. The Lost podcast continues. Mike Bloom and I are getting to the golf episode.
Whoa.
Hurley creates a golf course on the island is the podcast that we are talking about this week. And I will have a little bit of a Lost
related announcement of a future Josh Wigler appearance involved in a Lost thing coming in 2020 that I will talk about more on the podcast, which I'm very excited about. I'm really excited about it, and I'm just going to talk about it, and hopefully it'll be a thing that other people are going to be interested in, like maybe participating in, but it's totally understandable if you don't want to do it because it requires a lot on your end to participate in it. But I'm very excited about it. I'll talk about it on the podcast.
What a tease. Yeah,
I know. There's a lot of setup for something that will not be nearly as exciting for you as it is for me. For me, it's great. Oh, for me, I'm stoked on pie, on Samoa. But for you, hopefully it'll be cool enough. And there will be some good podcasting in the future that will come from it. Succession is getting very close to the end of the line. Emily Fox and I are recapping about that on Post Show Recaps. We've got podcasts for you. We've got the penultimate episode to discuss this week. So Post Show Recaps is bumping. Series Regular, my Hollywood Reporter podcast, also bumping. We've got a Sam Esmail, Mr. Robot creator interview that we just posted. And the next project on Series Regular, Antonio Mazzaro is actually going to be joining me on Series Regular as my co-host. I'm poaching him. I'm poaching Antonio to join me on the Hollywood Reporter talking about Watchmen every week. HBO's Watchmen, that is where you're going to get your Josh Wigler Watchmen podcast coverage over at Series Regular. So subscribe to that podcast if you're excited about that show and you want to hear Antonio and I talk about it. That's a lot. There's the New York Comic Con was last week. That was a ton of stuff going on. There's a lot of things that were happening. I hear the Breaking Bad movie is coming out this weekend. Rob, I hear you're maybe thinking about doing a thing or two with that. So just a ton of things are happening.
If there's enough interest.
There's enough interest. People want to hear it.
We'll see. Will you and Antonio call yourselves the Watchmen, or is that too on the nose?
I think probably a lot of people are doing that. Antonio, off the line, has suggested men watch Watchmen, which I think is funny. Oh. I like that. I think that that's good. I don't know. We'll workshop it. But I'm really excited
That's a palindrome.
Get into it. It is. It's good. I don't know if it's quite a palindrome, is it? But it's close. You know, it's not quite a palindrome. But it's
similar.
Got,
yeah.
It's got reflective properties.
So, yeah. It could be like looking in a mirror. Yeah.
It's a lot like that. I think, if you made like a spherical graphic art of men watch Watchmen, it would look really, really great.
It's cool.
So that's what's going on. There's a ton of stuff. That's why you're only getting what we're getting here on the Wiggle Room this season, which I'm cracking up. I'm having a full blast here.
It was a great wand off this week, and we've got a lot more for you because that's going to do it for Josh Wiggler here today. But what we're going to do next is that we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to tell you about the brand new hit show Batwoman, which appeared and premiered on Sunday night on the CW. We're going to tell you about that in case you're living under a rock and don't know about Batwoman. And then we're going to come back. Yeah. And then we're going to get into everything with This Week in Survivor, plus the Survivor social media and Jordan Kalish's quiz, where I will take on the great Paul Osloson coming up right after this. Josh Wigler, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Rob. And just officially on the record, it's a no to Twiggle Room.
Okay. You got it.
It's a thumbs down.
Sundays on the CW, brace yourself, superhero fans, because the Bat Signal is on, and you won't believe who's swooping in to heed the call. From the brilliant mind of Greg Berlanti and the executive producers of superhero smash hits Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow comes the most anticipated new series to join the CW-verse. It's Batwoman. Get ready to meet your new hero, Kate Kane. She's a survivor, a fighter, and an all-around badass who plays by her own rules, and she's got the to prove it. Batwoman's story begins 3 years after the mysterious disappearance of Batman, when Gotham City is in desperate need of a new kind of hero. Soon after returning home to defend her city from the notoriously twisted Alice in Wonderland gang, she discovers her cousin Bruce Wayne's mysterious lair and his unbelievable secret. With the help of Batman's trusted tech genius Luke, she decides to carry on Batman's mission by becoming Gotham City's new superhero vigilante. From the suit to the gadgets to the fight scenes that will blow your mind, this is the Batwoman of a new generation. Don't miss the incredible new series Batwoman, Sundays at 8/7 Central on the CW or anytime on the free CW app.
Let Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes. All right. Let's start to get into this week in Survivor. And let's welcome in the man who will bring us the This Week in Survivor history quiz, Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I am back. How's it going?
Jordan, how did Rob and Sandra do as quiz hosts this week?
I mean, I think it was a little bit. I mean, look, they don't do this every week. They're not pros like someone like me or Alex Trebek or someone like that. But I think they did a good job. I enjoyed it. I thought it was much better than the fire making.
Should Boston Rob have added more multiple choices where D was obviously a joke answer?
I think he should have. Akiva Whitaker actually tweeted that in the middle of the episode. So yes, he definitely should have.
Okay.
All right. I think Akiva's living in my head rent-free right now.
Rent-free in the giant head of Jordan Kalish. So with us this week, I'm really excited to have this guest here with us back on This Week in Survivor. Please welcome a man who is no stranger to Survivor fans. He is a Survivor historian and perhaps the world's greatest foremost authority on Sandra Diaz Twine. Please welcome back to the podcast, Mr. Paul Ostleson. Paul, how are you?
Hello, hello. Thanks. I've been listening well. I know that Jordan mentioned Trebek. He's a friend with someone named Akiva. He did not think the show was that professional. I'm just really, you know, learning the lessons here. Make sure I get everything.
Hey, make sure you pay attention.
You don't want to get assed out here.
Yes. What was it that Sandra said that they played her ass out?
They played her ass. Yeah. And then one of my favorite Sandra quotes from way back when that doesn't get enough love is when she references something and describes it as being, we were assed out.
Yeah. This is Sandra from this week.
Got assed out.
She pronounces it like so subtly, like an art to it. Like she says ass so much.
I hope Jordan Kalish doesn't ask me too many questions.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of chiropractors, by the way?
Yeah. I don't know. Boston Rob, he was literally carrying his family on his back. So that's I think true. He's a man who could use a chiropractor from time to time.
We recently bought our house this summer and we bought it from a chiropractor. So when we bought the house, there was this like chiropractor table in the basement that was kind of creepy.
Yeah. No. Now you can join Boston Rob in wondering what is that for. Well, I asked Shannon on the feedback show that is ass Sandra's favorite word. Does she like to add the word ass to a lot of sentences?
I think so. I mean, she was known, you know, Mario Lanza back in the day wrote a comparison of, you know, how many times Sandra will drop the F-bomb, and she would always like to compare her to Tina. But she does not get enough credit for how artfully she uses the word ass. So I'm going to agree with you there. I think ass is her word.
Yeah. Okay, Paul. You have been a longtime Sandra stan. I think that you might be the first person on the train. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I want you to name someone else who won a Sandra impression contest back around the time of Heroes versus Villains. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone else there has done that. I did our going to Game Changers. I did some extensive research on her. And I like to brag to my friends and family that anytime a major event happens in my life, Sandra will throw a casual ha-ha or a like or a good luck anytime anything happens in my real life. So I feel a close kinship to Sandra for sure.
Okay, so Paul, how do you feel about Sandra being here as one of the mentors of this season?
I think it's great. I mean, I agree with pretty much what everyone's saying, how cheesy this whole thing is. But I think the great thing about Sandra is that she literally does not care about anything. So there's no reputation to tarnish. She can't be too cheesy. Like she can just show up and be Sandra, whether she's playing the game or being a mentor. Like she can't do anything wrong. So I just think the more we get from her this season, the better it's going to be.
Right. I think that Sandra is a great example of there's so many people that go on these reality shows and are so worried about what the people at home think and are trying to just like play to the cameras. But Sandra is authentically Sandra no matter what and isn't thinking about the person at home.
Correct. I mean, as she's, you know, she's famously said, like, she'll lie. She doesn't care. You know, she doesn't care that she's a mom, that she's representing. I mean, way back when, back in the day, they talked about how she was, how do you feel that you're representing strong Puerto Rican women and whatever. And she's like, I don't care. I came to win. So like, she's, you know, she, there's no like moral compass when it comes to Sandra. She's going to say what she thinks. And that's what makes her so awesome.
Now, Paul, this week on the show, on the Island of the Idols, that we saw Kelly have to answer a series of questions after Rob and Sandra were presented her with a bunch of facts. How difficult would you say that this quiz was about Sandra?
I think I tweeted the first time I might have tweeted in like 5 months, but I said it was insultingly easy. I mean, You don't even have to be a personal Facebook friend with her. You could just like the Sassy Sandra page on Facebook and you would know how many daughters she has and that her husband's in the army. It was pathetic.
Yeah. Jordan, were you surprised that there were so many Sandra questions and we didn't get one Boston Rob question?
I was surprised about that, but I mean, I guess it makes up for the fact that in the first episode, they showed a clip of Sandra getting voted out and Boston Rob winning, when in fact, Sandra is the one who actually won two times, which I didn't think was fair. So maybe it makes up for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the criticism of that. I just think that Sandra losing was probably the funnier clip to show than the times that Rob has lost the game when she's saying to Jeff, don't do it, Jeff, don't do it, don't do it. I just think that might have been, Paul, that they just had a better clip for Sandra getting voted out.
And I'm sure if Sandra's not offended by this, so mm-hmm. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, Paul, do you think that there could have been any questions that they could have asked you about Sandra that you would not have gotten?
Oh, I would not have gotten. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I just feel like thanks to, you know, in part, you know, our RHAP has had a good relationship with her for most of the past 10 years.
There was
or
a
so,
blip.
So.
There was a blip. And I hope to that also stay on the right side of Sandra for all of the future of Survivor.
So, I mean, maybe something that would fall up in that kind of area that was kind of a little bit hazy, you know, but I can, you know, talk about, I could answer questions about her changing light bulbs while she was on the phone with you one time. I can mm-hmm. talk about how, you know, she goes to the Coupon Divas to go shopping, that she likes JCPenney and she collects those gift cards everywhere she goes. So yeah. There's a lot of Sandra material there. It was very upsetting that it was so shallow, but I actually don't mind. Like, I like the idea of how it was. It just felt really phoned in. Like, we couldn't even make this quiz like walk up to a booth and there's like some parchment and you're answering the questions. Like, it just felt really, to use one of Sandra's favorite words, half-assed.
Mm-hmm. Paul, what other skill sets does Sandra have that they could be making quizzes or tests for these Survivor players?
Well, I was thinking about this. I was like, are they going to like, I feel like it'd be like fun if we did some of like her, like, you know, the nastier sides or like the more cutthroat sides about like getting revenge on your enemy, throwing, you know, like we all know the Russell hat in the fire or, you know, going back to Pearl Islands when she dumps out the fish. I think something like that would be really fun. I think obviously some telling some lies, going down that route. So I think, I hope we kind of are able to, that it's not just, you know, Boston Rob centric and that we get some of the more, you know, interesting sides, more cunning sides of Sandra to implement.
Jordan, how do you think Boston Rob did with explaining the rules of the quiz?
I mean, I think, again, he doesn't have as much experience as someone like me who does this on a week-to-week basis, but I think he did okay. I mean, he did change the rules in the middle of the quiz, which is like a Jordan Kalish staple where she only had to get three to win instead of four.
Was that the middle? Was that the middle of the quiz?
Well, it was before the question started, but it was after he explained the original rules.
I feel like Kelly should have had to pick a number there to be like determined, like, are we going to start with a Rob question or a Sandra question?
I'm going
to
give you the five questions. And then if you are able to guess the question without giving the multiple choices, you're going to get 2 points. But if you are wrong, then you're going to go ahead and give the other person the opportunity to steal.
Now, don't be a stupid ass, because if it gets to a tiebreaker, then we're going to go to 36 more questions. I'm going to give you four options. You're going to tell me the one that is absolutely not right.
Yeah. My other big issue with this quiz is that there were zero questions about Survivor Guatemala. So it's he has some work to do, but I'm sure by the end of the season, if he's doing like more Survivor quizzes, And you know what I think would have been interesting too? What if it was like that old challenge where like Jeff Probst would read a story? He had like the, I believe it was the Roy Mata story in Survivor Vanuatu. What if it was like Rob and Sandra telling stories about their time on Survivor and then she had to like go find things and answer questions? I think that could have been maybe more time consuming, but potentially more interesting.
Maybe. Well, we also talked, you know, we talked a little bit about how we got some Dr. Seuss in this episode.
Yes.
But you remember, Sandra was the original Dr. Seuss, yeah. That she had never seen Johnny Fairplay ever clean a fish or even wash a dish. Mm-hmm. So maybe some like, you know, Dr. Seuss writing, rhyming about your tribe might be, hopefully, you know, Nora gets picked for that.
Yeah.
That she could definitely maybe compete with Sandra on that level.
Because Nora had said this in the episode.
Collect coconuts when you go on your walks, yeah. And your like little talks.
Well, I want to see Nora out there on the Island of the Idols. That might be my number one draft pick. You send Nora out there with Rob and Sandra.
Yeah. One of the comparisons I always am thinking about with Nora, one of my favorite contestants of all time on Survivor, was the fact that Laura Bonham was on the show briefly.
Yes.
And just kind of her erratic, like things she would say, like, you know, my wife and a couple friends of ours, we always quote the famous Laura Bonham line where out of nowhere, she just says, well, girls have rivalries. Just kind of like, what? Like, where are you coming from with that? So I feel like, you know, that Nora, knowing that Sandra put up with Rupert for so long and obviously has some connection to Laura that maybe she and Nora can really hit it off.
Yeah.
yeah. And then some more Dr. Seuss, Nora.
Nora and Laura, maybe on the next time out on The Amazing Race, that could be Laura's partner.
Yeah. And then you could be doing that first exit interview too, pretty quickly.
Yeah. By the way, Rupert on the elephant in the second episode of The Amazing Race this past season, I think is probably underreported for one of the top moments of the year. Maybe he could make the rounds for the best of the year in a couple of weeks from now when we get into Rupert with the elephant here. Let me.
Hey, come on. We didn't come here to lose.
He loves elephants. I don't think he loves that elephant.
Please, baby, please. Yes, I love elephants. Everybody's passing us. We're in last place. Elephants have been my spirit guide for years. My life. You are killing me. They represent that strength that I've always wanted. I can't end on an elephant. I love you too much.
Well, if we ever go through some, like, you know, we're going through all these different themes. If we have some kind of like ghost island, but like animal themed, you know, like ghosts of like Balboa and elephants and all these animals, maybe we could get him and Jan Gentry out there to kind of be the zookeepers.
The pet cemetery.
It's too bad Rupert wasn't out in Africa with Frank Garrison. He would have had a lot of fun walking around with the elephants.
Yeah. All right. Paul, are there any new favorites that you have on this season besides Nora?
Well, it's pretty early on, but I mean, I think obviously I have to be a Janet fan. I think we already has like blown the previous Janet out of the water.
How dare you?
I mean, I don't want to offend you. You know, one of your former tribemates. Well, not tribemates, but castmates. But
yes,
Paul, are you saying you're a Stanet?
Yes. For sure. I stand Janet. I stand most of the women. I mean, I think coming into this, I think that's one of the things that they were really kind of boasting about, these strong women they have on here. So I think they've been just absolutely, you know, phenomenal in terms of character and diversity and all different things. So I think she's a lot of fun. I also have a lot of faith in Lauren and what she's going to bring, because look, she has just a little bit of the crazy enough that she's going to be animated and she's making moves and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's not, you know, Nora levels of out there.
Not yet.
Anyway,
What do you make of Elaine?
Okay, and Elaine too. Like you were sitting here talking about Rupert, I'm just picturing ourselves like in a decade sitting down here and laughing about Elaine. You know, maybe not on an elephant, maybe on some other tropical
on her ninth
animal.
Appearance. Exactly. Second time on Big Brother.
Correct. So I want to tread lightly and say, absolutely, I think Elaine has been phenomenal so far, and I hope it stays that way, because she's been a lot of fun. And I've also been very impressed with Missy. Rewatching the episode today, I really was like impressed in how she handled herself in the episode. So I think there's a lot of good here. I really don't have too many complaints about the season so far. And I think, you know, I was kind of reflecting back. I think, you know, we talked about, or Mike Bloom tweeted, or you might have talked about on some podcast, about how this is the first time since Millennials versus Gen X that we have two tribes that went to two tribal councils back to back. I think that's key. I think some of the best episodes, you know, over the course of Survivor history, the second episode, if it's going to be good, you need the other tribe to go to tribal council. Otherwise, there's a lot of buildup that you learn the other tribe, they don't go to tribal council. So, you know, I think back to the boot, like, you know, the episodes where Billy Garcia goes out and when Dolly goes out, and there's quite a long list of them that I think is really key, that in that second episode that we see the other tribe go to tribal council.
Yeah. And also it's nice to know that we are not expected to swap this week, that we're going to let it run a little bit longer.
So. I'm fine with not swapping ever, but you know, I've been beating the drum for a long, long time that we merge way too early. And now I think the drum I'm being too is we don't need to swap and merge early, because I don't think we don't get to really learn these people as a group of people. There's not a really strong tribe narrative that happens. And I think that's critical to the show, to really get who these people are as a group. And then obviously that helps us understand them more as individuals.
Now, Paul, it looks like from our coming attractions that we're going to have somebody have to sneak into the other camp on their assignment for the Island of the Idols. Why do we need to teach people how to sneak into the other camp?
Well, I mean, I think this could very well, going back to what can Sandra teach, she famously grabbed Tawana back in the Pearl Islands and walked up on behind Johnny Fairplay and Burton as they were kind of trashing how dumb the girls were. And that was part of the reasons getting Tawana to reconsider things. So this very well could be a Sandra lesson here, how to sneak up on people and grab valuable information.
Yeah. Jordan, do you think that we are going to see somebody sneak into the other camp to get information, or do you think that it is going to be to steal an object?
In the next time on Survivor, we see there's like a scene at night where like one of the tribes, I couldn't really tell which one it was, wakes up and they're sort of like, oh, what's going on? So I think maybe there is going to be someone at night in the dark, and maybe the point is going to be to steal an object, or maybe there's going to be a flag, sort of like a capture the flag type thing. So I think that that could be interesting. I think it would be more interesting, though, to have to sneak into the other camp and try to get some sort of information from the other tribe. The only instance I could really think of, this was a whole tribe. I mean, there have been instances before in Survivor where like someone sends an observer to go to the other camp. But then there's the whole Survivor Guatemala thing where the whole camp snuck into the other tribe's camp for Danny Boatwright's birthday. So I don't think it's going to be like that. It's not going to be a birthday party, sad birthday party.
I don't want to step on your area of expertise here, Jordan, but it all happened in Cook Islands when Ozzy, Flicka, and Cowboy showed up on the Raro Beach and then asked them for some of their spices, and they got shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Where they were just like wandering around. They came out on the other, like we just stumbled upon your camp and they hung out for a while.
Yeah, but it does seem kind of weird. Like, what's the like overall Survivor lesson to be gained from this? That's why I think I feel like it has to be to gain some information, because I don't know that just stealing an object.
Okay. Well,
I mean, unless it's like, you know, stealing the machete or something
Here's my theory. Here's my theory. Okay. Let's go back to Rob and Sandra peppering Kelly this week.
You made like coconut popcorn.
So how did you meet Rob?
You guys have frying pan? I've always wondered about chiropractors. Like, are they legit?
Rob asks, you guys have frying pan? I'm wondering now, because it's going to be somebody from Laro that's going to go there. They're going to have to go steal the frying pan and bring it to Boston Rob.
Well, and to reference another, this connects a few different things here. When the Mata'amu tribe won a reward challenge in Marquesas, and they go over and raid the Rotu camp, as they're leaving, Boston Rob picks up the frying pan, bangs it on his knee, and goes, "You forgot this!" Bang, bang, bang.
So there might be this is going to be the payoff 35 seasons later.
Right?
Yes. Yeah,
I like it. I love
story.
That.
Okay. Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Boston Rob's going to say to Sandra, remember when I banged my knee with the frying pan, and Sandra's going to say like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was going to say, F no was going to be the response.
No. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of the, Survivor social media. And to get us started, here is the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. I hold them so dear. I've got some secret tweets that I hide in my hair. Tweets.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good spot to hide the secret tweets. Okay.
Doesn't really right. rhyme.
All right. Well, what do you, yeah. Close enough. Close enough. Okay.
Not his special. I like Jacob's songs. I don't know if that, I think he could do better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. For a guy that needs a lot of margin of error, I feel like you're a real stickler. All right.
There were better rhymes in my my wand off that you censored last week, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Yes, rightfully so. Rightfully so. I touched on this in the feedback show with Shannon, but what'd you make of Jeff Probst going after the CBS account of too many spoilers in the promos?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of tapped out of social media right now. I have not been that up. And as I was listening to you and Shannon talk about this, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I really was in shock. I was just thinking about that kind of, you know, him making those comments. I think about, you know, Julie Chen saying Julie Chen Moonves every time she's on the screen, which I'm sure they don't love. I just feel like the hosts are revolting a little bit here. So, we'll see where it goes from here. What the next step is.
The inmates are running the asylum, but it worked. It worked. But
I guess so.
Yeah. You know, I just wonder, like, Jeff Probst is, getting the mob on his side, with like, hey, let's lash out at CBS. But I kind of feel like, you know, the next time they have like, Edge of Extinction or something like that. I feel like that Jeff Probst is good at leading the mob, but I feel like that when, people like come, and then sound like, okay, let's all tweet Jeff about this is how you get some results. I feel like he's not going to like that as much.
Right. No, be careful what you start here, Jeff.
Be careful inciting people that if you just tweet enough on social media, that will change the policies.
Right.
Don't want to get that started. Okay. All right. Hard to put the genie back inside the lamp once you unlock that. All right. Then Boston Rob tweeted out, "We are loving at Survivor CBS, hashtag Islands of the Idols. What did you guys think of episode 2? Hashtag pay attention." Paul, who do you think the "we" is in that tweet?
Read it again. Which part does he say "we" in?
"We are loving at Survivor CBS, Island of the Idols."
Well, it must be his, you know, that secret scene he had where he talked about it being a family affair and finally his daughters are old enough to all watch it together and that it's kind of a thing. So maybe that might be a direct tweet from the Mariana living room.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it kind of goes without saying that his family would probably be liking the season.
Right. Probably him, Amber, the daughters, and Merlonio.
Yeah. Jordan, would you say that we are all enjoying the podcast so far this season?
I'd say we are all enjoying the podcast. We meaning me, you, and Paul are enjoying this podcast so far. Everyone seems to be enjoying it.
Yeah. Now, Boston Rob tweeted that, but Boston Rob has, it's amazing, Paul. I believe during Survivor Redemption Island was when he first got on Twitter, but now Boston Rob has come back to Survivor and now has joined a new social media platform that Boston Rob is now on Instagram.
I've heard this. I don't know that I actually follow him yet. So I don't know. Is he killing it over there yet?
Yeah. Or? No, he is. Boston Rob is killing it on Instagram. That he's been actually super active on Instagram so far during the new season.
Wow. No, I got to check this out here. I'm very picky about how good Instagram videos are and such. So I'll have to check him out to see. Is he giving away a lot about the show behind the scenes?
No, not a ton about the show. Mostly about like a lot of pictures of the family, a couple of shots of the Boston Rob rule book so far.
Oh, sushi. He has sushi.
Yeah, that Boston Rob had like a big plate of sushi, which I was surprised that considering the Farfaroo incident, Jordan, I didn't think that was really his thing.
Well, it's a very special, especially made crispy rice sushi.
Yeah, crispy rice sushi. Here's Boston Rob. He appears to be like cooking up some sort of a soup. Let's see what he's talking about.
One of the side effects of all those days out there on the island is when I get home, I want to eat. And I love to cook. Today, I'm making a beautiful red sauce with lamb and sausage. It's going to be delicious. Every Italian knows it's a sin to buy sauce out of a jar. That's why we cook our own. And with the sauce, a little vino. Salute.
Move over, Rachel Ray.
Yeah, it sounds like he's reading from a script, like he clearly is on the Island of the Idols.
No, he's really good on Instagram. One thing that happened this week, Paul, also that Rob was not happy about. He posted a picture of Christmas decorations and said, "Well, it's October 5th, and you know what that means. 'Tis the season, right on time at Walmart. Merry Christmas, everyone. Hurry up, everyone. 4th of July is right around the corner. Hashtag ridiculous."
I'll reference myself in a previous podcast. This is an example of a novel concept. Posting about something that we all know and accept, but yeah, but I will get that. That's pretty funny though.
Yeah, if you want to follow Boston Rob on Instagram, so far so fun with at Boston Rob Mariano on Instagram. Okay, Sandra, she tweeted out about the episode. That I wish I could do it justice like you could, Paul. She says, "I should have made that bun tighter, Kelly. I thought the idol would fall out." So Sandra, I guess, was the one that tied it in there.
Yeah, I watched the, I'm in mountain. I'm up here in the mountains of Montana, so we don't watch it live. It comes on an hour later. And I opened social media for a second, I think on Facebook, and she had the same post. And I saw that and I quickly exited out. So I literally thought the challenge was going to be that she was going to have this idol. She had to like somehow get back to camp without getting discovered or something. And that they decided to tie it up in her hair. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of hoping we'd see that on the show, her tying up that bun.
Yeah. No, we didn't get to see it on the show. I think we want to make it seem like Kelly did it herself. But, you know, if Sandra is the one that's like putting it in there and like tying a tight knot, then maybe it seems less like Kelly is pulling off this big caper, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a fun scene, though. I wonder who came up with the idea, if it was Sandra or Kelly. But that could have been a nice scene to see Sandra tying an idol in Kelly's hair.
Yeah. How is Sandra at hiding idols, Paul?
Well, I mean, she's found that one idol back in Heroes versus Villains, and she never told a soul about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't
where'd
know that
she hide it. Where
the,
do you remember when yeah, she where'd I'm, she pull it out from when she played it?
Well, I think she first my memory thinks it's in under her cap, that kind of little army cap she wore. But I could be wrong on that. But again, here's another example why she's the greatest. Like behind the scenes, under the radar, doing things that's like not even flashy on the show, but showing again why Sandra's the greatest.
We'll really know that Kelly has been listening to the mentors if she like gets an idol clue and throws it down a volcano.
Mm-hmm. Rick Devins tweeted, "I feel like Boston Rob could use some negotiating lessons from at Angelina Cardona. Couldn't we try the three questions or the three tribals first?" Yeah. Boston Rob did very quickly then, once Kelly had cold feet, Paul, that he did change things up. Do you fault Boston Rob's negotiation strategy here?
Well, three questions, three offers. I was like, how about just give her 3 seconds to think? At least the way it came off to us. He was just like, he was fired up. He was ready to deal with her. So I think he knew the whole time that that's what it was going to come to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So two more tribal councils after this for Kelly and her idol. Dan Rengering, Jordan, Hot Cop Dan. He said, "That awkward moment when some dumbass at CBS decided that airing a 5-second promo for next week's Survivor that grossly spoiled the entire next episode was so asinine that the 20-year-old host," cough, "Jeff Probst," cough, "had to call it out. Maybe let the showrunners help." What is he talking about, Jordan? Like,
I got it until he started talking about the 20-year-old host. I think he means the host of 20 years.
I get that. But is he saying that Jeff Probst shouldn't do this? Is he saying let the showrunners help with these issues and Jeff Probst shouldn't be dealing with that? Or is he saying let the showrunners help in making promos?
I thought maybe he was referencing the fact that Probst had tweeted about this, but I mean, he said ass in that post like more than Sandra would say ass. Between ass and asinine.
Yeah. Paul, why is Hot Cop Dan like so inside baseball on the promo stuff?
I think what he was really trying to say is, I don't want to come back for a second chance ever, so don't bother asking.
Yeah. And also,
is Hot Cop Dan really in a position to start calling people on Survivor stupid or not?
I don't know. It also had the gif of Wendell shaking his head no. So I think that he was trying to drag CBS. I think that once Jeff Probst dragged CBS, I think he was trying to drag CBS also.
He was like trying to copy that Jeff Probst move there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it really paid off. Good one, Dan.
Okay. All right. Kellen Bechtold, KS Bechto, my opponent in the Survivor Fantasy Football League, that she had said, from a fellow high school announcements reader, check out this podcast. And if you're behind on Island of the Idols, catch up this weekend. So many survivors, I was talking about the Bradley podcast, so many survivors did the high school announcements, Paul, it turns out.
I did the middle school announcements. I don't know if that's better or worse.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't cool enough in high school, but I like kind of, you know, ruled middle school.
Is that the path to get on the show? Do the high school announcements?
I guess so.
Really?
I just remember everyone said, oh, that, I thought that was a girl talking. So it was really good for my self-esteem.
Okay. Dr. Mike Jordan.
Yes.
He said, Jason may be a slow burn, but at Survivor 39 is like the Amazon rainforest fires, which have hopefully stopped burning since we stopped hearing about them. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think it's a good thing that the Amazon rainforest fires have stopped. I didn't realize that Butch had such a negative effect in mm-hmm. that region, mm-hmm. but apparently he did. I think he's I think he is liking Jason. I mean, he was who was it? Bradley who thought that Jason and Dr. Mike had some similarities. So I could see him liking Jason and saying that's a slow burn in a good way.
Okay, and then Dr. Mike said, is there a survivor lesson here? The person sitting out of a challenge is still playing and will make it known at Lauren Ashbeck.
Okay.
I think he's saying don't sleep on Lauren because she sat out of the challenge.
Really pay attention to whoever sits out because really they have some
maybe they have
extra
more
vantage point. That
yeah,
the
I guess so. I mean,
have.
And Lauren, I think, did she get the fishy this week? So maybe
she did. Yeah. I don't think anyone's really sleeping on Lauren after this week's episode.
Is that a good time to come up with strategies when you have sort of like the vantage point of that you sit out the challenge and then you could think of what to do next? I'll say when I got voted out in All Stars was the only time I ever sat out of the challenge. So I will say,
well, maybe that was your issue. They knew that you had the upper hand now that you were sitting out of the challenge.
Hey, get rid of this guy. He's just set out of the challenge. He had a lot of time to think today. So Nick Myron, the mayo jar, he said, how are we ever going to get Parvati 2.0 if she keeps getting voted out pre-merge? Paul, who's the real Parvati 2.0?
Yeah, I don't know. I like one of the things that Molly said in her exit press is that she was saying that with the group that they had cast this time, there were not the, you know, the one or two just kind of babes that were kind of just put in there that were just put there to look good in a bikini, had nothing else going on. So
yeah.
I think she was right in the fact that then she kind of fell into that role because there was no one else that was even close to that role. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a plus for casting, but unfortunate for her that then that kind of put a little bit more of a target on her as someone that might have been overly charismatic or relying on certain abilities to get by in the game. So I thought that was really insightful and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that for Molly, if the old casting paradigm was still in play, she would have gone further.
Correct. I could be. I think. I mean, I think she would have had a little bit more wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then Tyler Fredrickson, the T. Freddy, said this, Jordan, why can't the audience see whose name is pulled out of the bag on Island of the Idols? Fine, don't show the contestant who's blindly drawing, but not to show anyone is shady. Just saying, hashtag reality, hashtag Survivor, hashtag Survivor 39, at Survivor CBS, hashtag...
Uh-oh, he's coming too. He's coming for CBS.
Hashtag production, which I don't think that Survivor production reads that at hashtag production.
They don't monitor that.
They don't think that's one that they monitor.
They don't have a Google alert for that one set up. Well, I mean, I kind of liked it. I liked the mystery of not knowing. I thought that was fine. And one of my thoughts rewatching the episode too was, I really hope, I know we had talked, they had talked about in the preseason that you're going to do it different, you know, how people will go to the Island of the Idols. But I like keeping it up this way because I think it gives the random element makes it so it's going to maybe go back and forth between the tribes each time. I like that. And I also like that we get kind of this insight to a character that maybe would not be in the middle of the action, because a lot of times it's either one of the strongest people or one of the weakest people that get sent to a place mm-hmm. like this. So I really like it. I hope we continue with it, because I think even if, like, you know, we don't see any more Elizabeth or Kelly for a while, I think we have somewhat of an idea of who they are based on these interactions they had with Rob and Sandra. So I'm fine with the way it's set up.
Should
right now.
The audience get to see, though, who is going to come next?
I'm pretty indifferent on it. I kind of like not knowing who's going to go come next, you. But I don't really get offended either way.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I really don't think that this is such a big deal. I understand the point. I mean, if they're not showing us, maybe there is room for, you know, for them to change the name. But I really don't think that's happening, especially since, like, I don't think Elizabeth and Kelly necessarily would have been the two picks, especially since Elizabeth, it's not like she's a Survivor super fan or anything. Kelly, I believe, is, I think she's a new, if I remember correctly from the pregame interviews, I don't think she's necessarily like a huge mega Survivor fan either. So I could be wrong about that, but I don't think either of these two people who've gone to the Island of the Idols stand out as someone who production would be like, oh, we have to get these people there. So I think it's pretty on board so far. I don't think it's a big deal to see the names.
Okay. The great Alexis Maxwell, one of my favorite live tweeters from the episode. She does not like how there was all this talk about high school, Paul. She does not care for that. She says, OMG, please graduate out your high school state. Move on. Hashtag Survivor. Was that a graduation pun on high school?
Yeah, nicely done. As a high school teacher myself.
Yes.
I feel like I can comment on this, that I did not, like, looking at these tribes and specifically the tribe we see here go to tribal council and everything, it actually reminded me more of high school teaching staff.
Oh,
more than the students.
Like, how so?
I actually, like, Nora actually totally reminds me of a woman that works at my school, and some of the interactions she has with people, what people think of her, and kind of maybe a loopier personality and laughing and dancing at random times. That it's kind of what made me think of it. And it just kind of, like, it seemed to me less like high school cliques and more of like more of a work dynamic of when you have a group of people, or in my case, teachers working together, you're going to have a few people who are kind of on the outsides, and then you're going to have kind of the favorites, the boys clubs, the popular teachers, if you will. And then, but really the main decision-making comes down to those people in the middle. And I think that's what we saw in the episode this week.
Okay. Well, when will we get that metaphor on a Survivor season? We need to get more teachers.
This is like the teacher's lounge. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it translates super well, but have to workshop that one a little bit.
Okay. All right. And then Alexis Maxwell also said, girls are such haters sometimes. Is that, who was the hater? Was it Nora or was it Molly?
Mutual haters? I don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that very similar to the Laura Bonham quote that you brought up before?
Girls yeah. have rivalries. Girls are haters.
Yeah. Also, Alexis Maxwell said that, I swear that this is Erin from The Office with curly hair. Are you buying that?
Actually, I had said that, like, in the episode. I made a comment to my wife, Alice, about that. And then, she, like, as the episode ends, she pulls up on Twitter and she's like, look who shares your sentiment, and held up the phone to me. And I was like, oh, great.
That what they're saying, Molly.
Yeah. Think alike.
Why is she not Kimmy Schmidt? Has that not passed her character from The Office?
I guess so. I mean, her hair really reminded me of Alexis. Now talk about Alexis Jones from Survivor yes. Micronesia.
Yes. Okay.
If you're looking for another Erin from The Office comparison, you should all Google image search Yankees infielder DJ LeMahieu, because I think he looks even more like Erin than Molly Bynum.
So you say that DJ LeMahieu. Yes. Looks
and I'm
like
not the first
Kimmy
one.
Schmidt?
Looks like Kimmy Schmidt / Erin from The Office. Absolutely. Same face.
DJ LeMahieu. I mean, this is a wilder take than when you said that Molly had the Shambo look. Now
people
you're
agree.
Saying
not the Shambo look, the Shambo hair.
Okay. Did you make up this take? Is this like are you borrowing this?
No,
from
I'm
like
not. I'm not the first person to have this take.
Okay, this is like a Barstool thing or something like that.
I don't know what it was on. I've heard friends of mine say it. I've seen it on Twitter, and I completely agree.
Okay. So Jordan is DJ LeMahieu, a Yankee baseball player, looks a lot like Ellie Kemper.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll leave it to the listeners to fact check you on that one. Bryce Isaiah, Purple Pants Badass, says, why I got the feeling at Elaine Stott 11 played beer pong before hashtag Survivor Island of the Idols. Paul, do you think that Elaine has played beer pong?
I would not be surprised, but we know she's not putting cumin in those cups. But
no. No, definitely not. Jervis did not really enjoy what Jason was doing. He said, zip it, Jason. Enough talking. Hashtag Survivor. Jordan, why is Jervis so down on Jason?
I don't know. Maybe he's just not his type of contestant. I don't know. I thought Jason was a lot of fun this episode. I was happy that he wasn't the one voted off. And that's not shade against Molly or anything. She seemed like she was a pretty good player who went too soon. But I've been very entertained by Jason so far.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then a couple of other tweets. Rick Devin said, I feel like a lot of super fans could have probably answered those questions without even meeting Rob and Sandra. Elizabeth must be ticked she had the fire making challenge.
Very fair point.
I mean, on the level of difficulty, Elizabeth's challenge was a 6,000 and then Kelly had like a 2.
It's like, how many kids does Sandra have? I mean, like, maybe like 5 options. Like, there's no way she has like more than 5 kids, you know?
She had 4 dogs.
Within 3 in either direction, how many kids does Sandra have? Okay. And Dominic Abate tweeted, well done, Lauren Ashbeck. Way to see the big picture early on. But my favorite moment was watching at Lyndon Nation work his ass off to keep at Nora Knows Best from celebrating in front of the tribe. He really may be the next at Stephen Fishback, at Survivor CBS, hashtag know it alls, at Rob Sisters. This was like a T-Bird tweet from Dominic Abate.
Can you read it like a T-Bird tweet?
Well done, at Lauren Ashback. Way to see the big picture early on. But my favorite moment was watching at Lyndon Nation work his ass off to keep at Nora Knows Best one from... sorry, I was eating popcorn. Okay, from celebrating in front of a tribe. He really may be the next at Stephen Fishback, at Survivor CBS, hashtag at know it alls, at Rob Cesarino.
I can see giveaway is the use of ass. Oh,
yeah, I was going to say that too. T-Bird does not, yeah, does not say
obscenities in the street. And then Stephen Fishback said, don't curse him like that. And Jason Linden said, I'm honored, but he left out the apostrophe on the word I'm. My apologies, Stephen. And Stephen said, thanks. I spent 12 hours wondering what im meant. So yeah, Stephen Fishback, yeah, make sure you get those apostrophes in there, Jason. You've learned that lesson the hard way. Okay. All right. Before we get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Legacy Box. And Legacy Box allows you to be the hero of your family, where you are going to be able to take all those home movies that you have just sitting around and then get them digitized instead of whatever format that you need to try to figure out, like, oh, where do we even have a VCR anymore, Mom? Do we even have the wires to connect this thing? Let Legacy Box digitize all those memories for you and get them on a DVD, a thumb drive, or a digital download. Maybe you don't have a photographic memory like Paul Osleson and can't remember where you were for all these different Survivor moments. You have them on these old home movies that you want to show to the next generation. Legacy Box is going to help you out. They're going to send you the Legacy Box crate, where you're going to load up your media and then you send them in. They're going to take good care of your original copies and send you up to 12 personalized emails along the way. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. All the work is done by hand right here in the USA. You're never going to get that VCR hooked back up. So go ahead and experience the nostalgia of all those old classic home movies with Legacy Box. They've got a great offer for our listener, and there's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Visit LegacyBox.com/Rob to get 40% off your first order. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. No need to hold out for a better offer. We're not going to try to bid against ourselves like Boston Rob. LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today.
Twish.
Okay. Jordan.
Yes.
Are we ready for another quiz this week?
We are ready. And as I said before, this is Paul's second time on the quiz. He was actually our first guest ever on the, not ever on This Week in Survivor History, but he was our first guest in this iteration of the game where you play against the contestant.
Hey, Jordan, smarten up. The quiz is for you this week. Were you paying attention to all the things that we talked about in this episode?
I was. I actually watched like hours and hours of Legacy Box footage of all these Survivor contestants and learned about their personal lives.
All right. So, what percentage off was the promo code for Legacy Box?
Damn, that was a good deal.
40%.
Okay, you're right.
I was listening.
Good job. Now you take that money and you go to the Outback Steakhouse. Don't be a stupid ass.
Okay. Next question. Where did they have Christmas decorations up on October 5th?
I believe it was in, was it Target?
Sandra? What am I going to do with this guy?
He just played your ass.
It was Walmart. Smarten up.
You obviously don't hang out with the coupon divas, Jordan.
I'm sorry, Busted Robin, Sandra. It's been my life's goal to get on this show and talk to the two of you. You're both my idols, and I've disappointed you. I'm so sorry. I should have negotiated for a better prize at least.
Okay. Well, you lost your vote. You should have never taken this quiz.
Oh, adios.
Okay. All right. What about our quiz?
Our quiz. Okay. So as I was saying, Paul was the first guest ever on this quiz. I think there may have been slightly different rules the last time Paul was here. So I will go over them, and also just for any new listeners.
Please, Jordan, we have so much time. Can you go back and read what were the rules like back then, how they evolved to now, and just make sure we're all on the same page?
Yeah, if you want it, you could buy the audiobook, The Evolution of Twish, with Rob Cesternino and Stephen Fishback. But here's the rules that we have here. I have four multiple choice questions. Each of you will get to answer two of them. You can either get 1 or 2 points on either of these questions. If you hear the multiple choice options, you get 1 point if you're right. If you choose not to hear the multiple choice options, you get 2 points if you're right. However, if you are wrong, your opponent will get to steal a point. And then we'll have a final round in which both of you will be able to score points. So I think that is succinct. I think that is good. I'm not going to read the oath of the Twish quiz. That doesn't exist yet, but I'm in the middle of writing one. So the four categories that we have here today, we have pre-merge individual immunity winners, flippers never win, $1 million and some Oslison, and record breakers. Paul, as the guest, you get to choose first.
I don't have to pick a number.
Not yet. That's for the final.
That's the last round.
Only if you're losing. Only the person who's losing.
Individual wins.
Okay. Pre-merge individual immunity winners. In the third episode of Survivor Vanuatu, both tribes went to tribal council and voted someone out. Lapevi won the reward challenge and was therefore able to compete in an individual immunity challenge. Who won immunity and was safe during the first tribal council of that episode?
Who won from the Lapevi tribe?
Correct.
John Kenny.
John Kenny is correct. Fast start for Paul. You get 2 points. Rob does not get a chance to steal. Very good job. And do you remember, not, this isn't for points, do you remember who John Kenny gave immunity to on the Yasser tribe?
He wanted to give it on the Yasser tribe. He did not want to ruffle feathers and wanted to pick someone who wasn't going home anyway, who I believe was Amy.
That's correct. Yeah, you know your stuff.
Smarty pants.
Very good. Yeah,
smarty pants. I didn't go to any Harvard parties, but
yeah. What about Wharton? Did you go to Wharton?
Not Wharton either.
Not Wharton. Okay. So you
not
have a
really?
You have a 2-0 lead here. But Rob, you get your first question. We have Flippers Never Win, $1 million, and some Osselson, and Record Breakers.
Record Breakers. I will go with Flippers Never Win.
Okay. This is also from Survivor Vanuatu. Who flipped on Mia Galeotalans's alliance, sending her out of the game? Don't hear a lot of Mia talk on podcasts.
No, Mama Mia, more like. Mama Mia, this sauce looks so good. Okay. I eat sauce out of the jar. Also, I just wanted to say that. Who flipped on the Mia? I guess let me hear the multiple choice.
Okay, we have A, Lisa Kiefer, B, Eliza Orlins, C, Julie Berry, D, Amy Cusack.
I'll stick with the Amy talk.
It was actually Lisa Kiefer. Amy was never in that alliance. Yeah, so you do not win the Lisa Kiefer award. You do not get a point. You do not collect $200 for passing go. 0 points. It is 2-0, Paul. And we have two more questions left. $1 million and some Asselson and Record Breakers.
I think I was not going to pick the one with my name in it. But I guess we'll go with, and just for the record, I like to remind people, more like Osselson, less like ass.
I nailed it. Right?
I know. I said Osselson the first time.
Intro, right, Paul?
Awesome. No, you've been doing awesome. Even the whole week leading up to it. Perfect.
It's Osselson like Africa, not Asselson like Africa.
Sure. Let's do that one then. $1,000 and some Asselson. I'm saying it Asselson just for the category.
All right. So we're going to go to Survivor China. Courtney famously overheard John Robert and James talking smack about her and some of her other tribe members while they were in the water. Who was with her and also heard their strategizing?
I'm just picturing her talking to Todd in the water and making faces. So I'm going to say Todd.
All right, so that is the correct answer.
I mean, that was a very easy question, Jordan.
You think was it easier or harder than how many kids does Sandra have?
Yeah, that was it. Was about on the how many kids does Sandra have level.
Who would be talking with Courtney the water?
Yeah, who flipped
Leslie?
On Mia?
The other options were, if you did go to the multiple choice, were Amanda, Denise, and Leslie. I do admit that is one of the easier questions on the quiz, but I mean, look.
You just wanted to say Asselson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, as a Sandra stan, I support your choice to include ass as much as possible.
Yeah. But, Rob, you're not out of this. You have another question that you get to answer. Okay. But Paul does have a big 4-0 lead. We're going to go to Record Breakers. This is from Survivor South Pacific. Before Survivor South Pacific, Rupert, JT, and Brendan the Dragon held the record in the weight-bearing challenge by holding 220 pounds. Two players, one on Savai'i and one on Upolu, broke this record by suspending 240 pounds before dropping the weight. Who were these two record breakers?
I got to give both of them.
You need both of them, yeah.
Okay, I believe it was Jim Rice and Brandon Hance.
That is correct. You nailed it. It is 4-2. Jim Rice and Brandon Hance are the correct answers. So, Rob, you are trailing going to the final round. So, Paul, you were saying that you would have to pick a number. It's actually the person who's trailing has to pick a number. So, Rob, pick a number between 1 and 6.
I'm going to go with 6.
YOLO. Let's play.
Okay, so this this season of Survivor features Island of the Idols, which is a an alternative island that the contestants get to go to. And there have been many seasons in Survivor history where there's another island, whether it be Ghost Island or Exile Island or Redemption Island, that the contestants sometimes have to go to. So I have questions about these alternative islands, and I think you were also talking with Shannon Gates about some of the islands that they've done on the international seasons. So I'm going to ask you a question. These are not multiple choice. You have to give the correct answer in order to gain a point. And Rob, we're going to start here. You chose number six, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're wrong on this, you will lose the quiz because you won't be able to gain any more points. We will go four rounds, unless there's a tie. And then, we'll go to the remaining questions if, we're tied up after that. So
okay.
We're going to Survivor San Juan del Sur. The question is, after Julie McGee defeated her boyfriend, John Rocker, in the Hero Arena duel, who did she choose to join him at Exile Island?
In the Hero Arena duel. Yeah.
Who did she choose to join John Rocker at Exile Island?
Okay. There's no multiple choice.
Okay. Final round, yeah.
All right. Who went there with John Rocker? I would say that it was... I don't really recall this. I don't remember which episode this was. I'll say with Keith Nail.
So this it came up on the podcast that this was the anniversary of the first live know-it-alls, and it was the episode in which Val was voted out. On Exile Island, there was a pact made between John Rocker and it was Jeremy. That they would take care of each other's loved ones. And John Rocker ended up voting for Val, partly due to her her double idol lie. So unfortunately, yeah. Rob, you were incorrect. It was Jeremy. And Paul wins the quiz. But Paul, I'm going to give you one question here just to rub it in, to rub it in Rob's face and get an extra. I won't give you a point. It's the final score is 4-2.
Okay.
This is from Cook Islands. Who did the new Rarotonga tribe choose to exile after winning the immunity challenge, therefore making this person immune and unable to vote at the tribal council in which Cecilia Mancia was voted out?
I was going to say, poor Cecilia goes home because Candace gets sent away and making it go to 8 people. So, yeah, Candace Woodcock.
Very good. It was Candace. Good job. So, Rob, tough week for you. Your first loss of the season.
It's tough to beat Paul Osselson any time out. And
he is a Survivor historian.
Yeah.
I should have been playing this like the contestants. I should have come on and just made a big scene during the quiz. I'm never going to get invited back now after this. I should have focused on being memorable,
yes.
Being brought back rather than just winning because now, woohoo, I won twice.
Yeah, this is me going up against Paul. I'm reminded of this quote from Nora.
A popular group that everyone's like, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. We want to fit in with you.
Yes. So that's how I feel. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Well, YOLO, Rob.
YOLO.
YOLO, yes. Let's play.
Do you think that Nora is a Wayne's World fan?
Probably. That was kind of strikingly similar to the movie. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Then Jordan, what else? What else do you have for Paul?
Paul, we didn't have this game when you first came on the podcast. This was invented during the Nick Adanza podcast, which I think was a few weeks after your first time on the show.
So
who do you think is the first
when we played
first
this
Survivor
week this week in Survivor history?
Yeah, exactly. This will be in what 5 years from now? It'll be a question. Who was the first Survivor you followed on Twitter? Yes.
I think I looked this up like. Whatever, a year ago when I was hoping to get invited back to him. I'm pretty sure I followed Amanda Kimmel, now Cooper, first on Twitter.
That is correct. And you got her new name. Yes, Amanda Cooper, who is still at Amanda Kimmel. She's a mother.
She moved back to Montana. She lives in it's the next biggest city closest to me. So.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But
I haven't run into her yet.
Here's the thing. Her tagline, her bio, it says mother to the sweetest vegan animal activist, hippie and adventurist. I feel like she's not talking about her kid when she's talking about the vegan animal activist, hippie and adventurist. I think mother to the sweetest is its own thing. But the way that it's written, it looks like she's the mother to the sweetest vegan animal activist, hippie and adventurist, which is a weird way to
imply that she not be able to articulate what she's thinking.
Yeah, she is known for her ability to do that.
Yes. What's her Twitter handle? Amanda.
It's Amanda Kimmel still.
Okay,
Amanda Kimmel.
Okay, Amanda. Yeah, but she's Amanda Cooper.
Yeah, one of my best friends. She's also a Survivor fan. Her name is Amanda, and she works for the state politicians in the state, and she was organizing some event where they were reaching out to animal activist type people, and Amanda was there. So she sent me a picture of the two Amandas together.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close as I've gotten to actually interacting with Amanda.
I think she might be saying that about her her child. So that maybe her child.
There's a picture of a baby. Animal activist, hippie, and adventurous.
Yeah, why not?
I think she's saying that she's mother to the sweetest, meaning the sweetest kid. And then she's also a vegan, animal activist, hippie, and adventurous.
What like, do you
we
think,
need to get
Paul?
Stephen Fish back
on
this.
You're the Amanda expert.
Rob, I didn't agree with you on the Brock Ross debate, and I can't agree with you here. I'm with Jordan on this one. This
well, what is it?
Is
she missing a noun? Or should the first comma be a period?
The
and
start sweetest. Using- like using an adjective, making it into a noun. The sweetest.
Yeah, mother to the sweetest. I think she should say the sweetest, like son or baby or whatever, then put a period, and then she could talk about being a vegan, animal activist, hippie, and adventurist.
You could take any adjective and make it a noun. Like
I'm going to ask
Rob,
sis about this.
Your performance, Rob, today was the assiest, for example.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
Do you know the second Survivor you followed on Twitter?
Second? Ooh. Might be Rob?
It is actually Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh.
She's a wife, mom, celiac, author of the New York Times bestsellers, The G-Free Diet, and deliciously G-Free founder of NoGII.com.
So, yeah, some things stand the test of time better than others, but 10-year-old Paul was obsessed with Elizabeth Florsky, so...
Is that what she's known? She's known for like being a gluten-free author now, I guess.
Maybe she's known for a number of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not what
this is her bio. She kind of left the public eye right at the right time. I think in about early 2016, she stepped out.
So. Yeah. Should I have like a list with like a bunch of commas? The way to... No?
I don't think so. I don't like that.
You just use emojis to convey that?
Oh, I mean, I'm wondering if it should be like husband to Nicole.
Everyone knows that who follows you on Twitter.
Dad of the sweetest. Mets fan.
Then it says it sounds like you're the dad of the sweetest Mets fan.
Podcast enthusiast. Yeah.
No, but yours is good. I spend way too much time. Yeah.
I think I had husband, German teacher, cat dag, Survivor historian or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I felt like a tool and deleted it.
Yeah. Maybe some of the listeners could help me come up with a new comma filled bio.
Sounds like a fun new game for the B&B.
So what's your first comma? Is it going to be Stan of the King Cake Baby?
I don't know. What does Sandra do on her Twitter? Maybe I should learn from the legends.
Might be in all caps.
Sassy Sandra the Queen, comma, two-time winner of Survivor, two crowns.
A little emoji thrown in there. The emojis, they go a long way.
Paul, what'd you think of all of the memes that ended up being made of Rob and Sandra reacting to what was going on at Tribal Council?
Very big fan. And I hope I hope we get more of those. And I hope it stays around for a while and that we get a plethora of Sandra Rob Booth memes.
Booth memes. More Booth memes, please.
Well, what did Sandra say? Please, no new memes of me in the hot box.
Yeah. And it was funny that Aurora had responded to that tweet of that we have a very different definition of hotbox. Okay. All right. Jordan, what else did you want to say?
I do have something actually. Paul, a long time ago, you got me in the RHAP patron gift exchange and you gave me a great This Week in Survivor History calendar and also a notepad with five different survivors on the notepad. And two of them are, of course, Rob and Sandra. Paul, I'm sure you know the answer to this. Rob, who do you think the other three survivors on this notepad?
I am so confused what you're talking about. Paul got you a gift.
Paul got me a notepad with five survivors on it. And two of them are Rob and Sandra, which is why I'm bringing it up. And I also used the notepad to keep score today for the This Week in Survivor History game.
A notepad that had five survivors on it.
I feel like there's I haven't seen this paper. Notepad in 3 years and I can describe it better than Jordan is. But do you want to go for it, Jordan?
You got Jordan some sort of survivor stationery with like the heads of survivors on it?
Yeah, so you got it.
It's like... I think Jordan, it's at the top. It's like five little.
Paul,
like
did you invent the island of the idols of set design?
I guess so.
Is it like a Survivor Mount Rushmore?
I'll tweet a picture of this.
Yeah, it kind of was like the Mount Rushmore, I guess, at the time, right?
Yeah. Mount Rushmore plus one, because there's five of them. So, Rob, besides Rob and Sandra, who do you think the other three survivors are that Paul included on this notepad?
I mean, is it like a Survivor Mount Rushmore, or is it Jordan's favorite survivors?
I would say it's a Survivor Mount Rushmore. There are some of my favorite survivors on here, but
I guess Parvati.
Correct.
Okay. Then you can sort of like go in some different directions. Is Richard Hatch there?
He is on there. There's one more.
He is. That was correct?
Yep.
Okay. And then I will say, how many years ago was this, Paul?
Three years ago?
Was I think it's three. The fifth
Suri
person?
Suri is not on there.
Okay. What about Kim Sprodlin?
Kim Sprodlin is not on there.
I don't even like your stupid stationery.
Is it Russell?
It is Russell.
I wasn't sure if Russell was going to make the cut.
Was that the first five inductees to the Hall of Fame?
Did Suri make the cut?
It seems to me like I probably was somewhat methodical in that would be my guess. And I would probably avoid putting in Russell in at all costs. So. Mm-hmm. My guess is that was the Hall of Fame, but I could be wrong.
The original Survivor Hall of Fame class.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good job, Jordan. You still have paper left on that notebook?
I do.
Okay.
It was a big paper. Like, there's a lot of paper in this thing.
Okay.
For the record, that was my first and last patron Secret Santa. I can't top that one. So
okay.
It was a good... I still have that calendar on my wall, and it's from like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe one day, Jordan, I'll give you a new one, but I'm not doing it for anyone else.
There you
Thank
go.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. I love it. It's a great calendar, great notepad. You're now a two-time winner on This Week in Survivor History.
Congratulations. Thank
you. For the record, yes, 2010 inductees.
Yes. Congratulations again, Paul. Of course, you can follow Paul Oslison at Paul Oslison. I am looking on your Twitter, and I see that it shows like recent media, and I was trying to figure out why you had this Aladdin gif, and it goes back to the week one of coverage from our Survivor 38 podcast. Kimmy at Kimmy Kappenberg and at Arissa Cox kicking off at Survivor CBS week one on RJP was everything I needed.
Clearly it was downhill from there, Rob, so hope this season's better.
Yes. With Aladdin, we have a lot of Aladdin going on at my house right now.
Yeah, well, good. Aladdin never goes out of style.
Yeah.
The new one or the old one?
No, it's the old one. The old one is thumbs down for my kids.
Oh, my God.
They are a classic Aladdin stands. Okay, of course, you could follow Jordan Kalish at Jordan Kalish on Twitter. Jordan, anything else coming up this week except you'll be way too distracted watching Yankee stuff?
That's basically it. Hopefully, we're able to wrap this thing up by the time you're, and this podcast comes out on Tuesday. So hopefully by the
Monday
time you're
night.
Hearing this
Monday night, yeah,
on Monday night. So hopefully by the time you're hearing this, the series against the Twins is done, about the time that this podcast is going to come out. If not, I will be, very nervous for the rest of the week.
Okay. Hopefully, you and the unbreakable DJ LeMahieu, will be able to, keep moving on, keep on trucking through these playoffs.
Yeah. And if I look very nervous, sitting at Survivor Know-It-Alls, you know why, because they're playing in the ALCS.
Okay. All right. Great stuff all around, of course. What a fun podcast this has turned into between the Wiggle Room and This Week in Survivor. Of course, it's all made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We've got just a couple days left if you want to get the RHAP pop socket. That's through the start of this week's Survivor Know-It-Alls if you want to get in on that special offer that we're sending out for our new patrons. And also for our existing patrons, we're giving them the opportunity to get one of those too. Find out more at robhasawebsite.com/patron about everything we have going on in our patron community, our patron only podcast feed, and more at robhasawebsite.com/patron. patron. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.